All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So, welcome back. I guess this is the first class after Pesach. I apologize about last week, but a pleasure to be back with all of you today. So, what I'd actually like to do is, if you remember, we left off in our last session. We left off in the last session in the middle of Kapitel Chaf Beis. So, I'd actually like to go back today and revisit Chaf Beis a little bit. So just a quick review from the first part of Chaf Beis that we did study. And then Amir Tashem spend the bulk of our time today really focusing on some new ideas. So take a look on number one on your sheet, Kapitel Chaf Beis, Lam Natseach Ala Yeles HaShachar Mizmor LeDavid. So literally translated for the conductor on the Ayeles HaShachar, a song of David. Keli Keli Lama Azavtani. My God, why have you left me? Rachok mi Yeshua si divrei sha'agosi. You are far from my salvation and from my words of moaning. Elokai ekra yomom velo sa'aneh. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I call out to you by day and you don't answer. Belaila velo dumiya li. But even when night comes, I will not be silenced. Va'ata kadosh yoshev tilos Yisrael. But you are holy, you await the praises of Israel. And David HaMelech goes on to really echo this same sentiment over and over and over. I'm in trouble, I can't find you, why have you left me, why have you forsaken me? Until he finally comes to the last couple of psukim. Zera ya'avdeni yusupar la'adonai la'dor. The seed that worships him, it shall be told to the generation concerning the Lord. Yavov yagidu tzidkaso li'am nolad ki asa. They shall come and tell his righteousness to the newborn people, that which he has done. Sort of the last two psukim. So we spent... Again, in our last session, so we spent a significant amount of time trying to figure out. Again, remember, as we said, every time we learn Tehillim, so not all of Tehillim, but a good part of Tehillim can be captured thematically. Much of Tehillim is the same, representing the struggle of humanity, representing difficulty, representing sadness, representing failure, representing triumph, feeling close to God, far away from God, reconnected with God, I'm moving forward, God's moving back. All these different themes manifest themselves in different ways in different kapitlach. What really sets the kapitlach apart is the different words, the different types of verbiage that David HaMelech uses, because it's within those nuanced words that David HaMelech really emotes in a different fashion. So we focused on this Ayeles HaShachar. Remember again, right now I'm just going to spend the next couple of minutes reviewing, although again, maybe it's like a new shir because I think we did it now, I don't remember how long ago, a month ago. So, but just quickly, what we did the last time we learned together is we focused on this Ayeles HaShachar. And we saw a couple of different approaches. We saw the Ebenezer who explained that Ayeles HaShachar literally means Alos HaShachar, sunrise or dawn. That's what David HaMelech, remember we've seen this theme in earlier Kapitlach, where David HaMelech focuses on seeing the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam through nature. You can through the majesty, the greatness of God throughout Kodesh Baruch Hu's natural world. We saw Rashi explain that Ayeles HaShachar is the name of an instrument. Interestingly enough, we saw in Mishlei that we refer to this Ayeles Ahavim, a lovely hind, a female deer. Now, it's actually interesting, I think this is Hashkacha, because I realized something when we were reading Shir HaShirim over Pesach, that if you'll notice in Shir HaShirim, Multiple times, Shlomo HaMelech, remember, Shir HaShirim is an allegorical love song between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's confusing about Shir HaShirim? Everything. Good. That's a good answer. What's most confusing textually about Shir HaShirim is Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep switching back from male and female. Sometimes God is the female and Klal Yisrael is the male. Sometimes Klal Yisrael is the female, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the male, which, you know, it's not our share for today. But in the Zohar, there's a concept of Duchra and Nukva. There's a concept of Zohar in a cave, a male and female. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has male attributes, female attributes. There are certain times where God is more feminine, certain times where God is more masculine. Different share, not for today. Not for today. So interestingly enough, so throughout Shir HaShirim, we also say, I don't have a... I'll show you something amazing, if I could find it quickly. I'm out of practice all these weeks. I should have come more prepared. The last pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Brach dodi udnei lecha litzvi. Run away, my beloved, and be like the tzvi, be like the hind. So interestingly enough, Ayeles, in number 5 in Mishlei, translates the same way as tzvi, as hind, a female deer. So it's interesting in general in Shir HaShirim. This is not the first time. Shlomo HaMelech a number of times writes this idea of brach dodi, which is strange. First of all, there are two things that are strange. So first of all, the lovers in Shir HaShirim refer to the other as the hind, the deer. So first of all, there are many wonderful terms of endearment, right? Calling someone a deer, D-E-E-R, right, it is not usually one of them. And what's also fascinating is multiple times throughout Shir HaShirim, you have this lashon of brach dodi, run away, my beloved. So what's fascinating is, if you love someone, and especially Shir HaShirim, which is all about a desire for closeness, the last thing you would tell them is what? Is run away. So there's a beautiful, beautiful vart. I actually said this over Pesach by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And the Rebbe writes so beautifully, he says that when a hind, when an ayelet, when a tzvi runs, so it always looks back when it runs away. It runs forward, but it always looks back. Almost as if Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brach dodi, I recognize, my beloved, that we won't always be together. But what I ask is that even when you have to run away, just make sure to look back. So over here also, David HaMelech, according to Mishlei, and we will see also according to Rav Hirsch, that the Ayelet HaShachar refers to the female deer. This is the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where David HaMelech is saying, Lam Natzeach al Ayeles HaShachar Mizmor LeDavid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are like the deer, you are like the hind of my morning, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when you're not with me, what I ask of you is please keep your eye on me. We saw Rav Hirsch. This is all just review. We saw Rav Hirsch who explained that the Lam Natzeach al Ayeles HaShachar Mizmor LeDavid. Rav Hirsch really goes with the Eben Ezra that Ayeles HaShachar means dawn. And what David HaMelech is really saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right now I'm enshrouded in so much night. It's so dark. But you know what I know? I know Lam Natzeach al Ayeles HaShachar Mizmor LeDavid. I know that as dark as it is now, one thing is for sure, which is what? Morning will come. Morning will come. And not only will morning come, but morning will Emir Tzak Shem come shortly. We also saw, again, this is just review. We also saw a fascinating approach by the Malbim and the Alshech, who explained that this kapitel was written prophetically, referring to who? Excellent. Referring to Esther Hamalka, right? That David HaMelech, remember again, the Megillah identifies Mordechai as an Ishimini coming from Shevet Binyamin, which we know that Mordechai and Esther have a connection. Whether their connection is a marital one, whether their connection is a familial one, or whether it's both. Whether it's both. So we take that to mean that Esther was also from Shevet Binyamin. So the Malbim brings down from whom specifically? From Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera, if you remember the story again, was the cousin of Shaul, who when David HaMelech is running away from Yerushalayim to escape Avshalom, Shimi comes out cursing and yelling, and the servants of David want to execute Shimi. David HaMelech says no, for a variety of reasons, which we're not going to go through again. And because he spared Shimi, ultimately the descendants of Shimi are Mordechai and Esther Hamalka. So some understand that Ayeles HaShachar, which again, this hind, this female deer to which David HaMelech refers to prophetically, is none other than Esther Hamalka. So that's pretty much our review from last time. Now let's begin focusing on this week. So what I'd like to draw your attention to in this week is, as you know already, it takes us long enough to get through a kapitel, even when we don't through line by line. You could learn till them line by line. But the truth is, I think you have to clear your calendar for the next, I don't know, quarter century. And then a mirror session. But the truth is, I think what we've also seen is, you don't have to go line by line to understand the essence of the kapitel. So what I'd like to draw your attention to today are two psukim. It's number 2 on your sheet. So if you take a look at number 2, I'd like to focus on psukim Beis and Gimel, which I think are the two most dramatic psukim in the entire kapitel. Keli, keli, lama azavtani. My God, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? Rachok mi Yeshua si divrei sha'agosi. You are far from my salvation or from the words of my moaning. Elokai ekra yomam velo sa'ana. I call out to you and you don't answer. Velayla velo dumiyali. But I'll continue to call out at night and I will not be silent. Va'ata kadosh yoshev tilos Yisrael. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are holy, who you await the praises of Israel. So what's most dramatic, there's a number of things that are dramatic about these psukim, but I think textually what stands out immediately is what? Or what stands out not so immediately is what? Twice. Kaylee. Why do you have to say it twice? Right? Remember, any time you see something that is said twice, especially within biblical text, that usually conveys something. Now, again, it doesn't always convey the same thing. For example, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to Avraham Avinu multiple times and he calls him Avraham, Avraham. So Rashi HaKadosh comments over there and says, why the double Lashon? Why Avraham, Avraham? Rashi says, Lashon Chiba. It's a term of endearment. So again, so every time you see something doubled, it means something is happening. It's not just literary. So says the Ibn Ezra, number three, Kaylee, pa'amayim, why twice? Ki bitzara haya. Because David HaMelech was in incredible tsar. Incredible pain, incredible suffering. Which then leads us to the question of, what is the tsara? What tsar, remember, as we've seen already throughout our studying of Tehillim, so although it doesn't work with every kapitel, but more often than not, kapitlach are not just said bigadol, they're generally referring to something specific. So David HaMelech, if you are experiencing so much pain that you have to call out to God twice, what is the particular tzara? So take a look, first approach, Rashi and Radak. So Rashi number four comments, Lama azavtani, asida hila leches begola. The Amar David Tfilazu al Ha'asid. Ultimately, again, so according to Rashi, this is again another prophetic capital. David HaMelech is not referring to the present. Right now there's no tsar, but there will be a golos. There will be diaspora. There will be pain. There will be suffering. And what will happen in that pain and suffering? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to leave us. Lama azavtani, or at least we'll feel like He's going to leave us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to leave our side, and therefore, again, Kaylee. The pain of future galus is so intense. David HaMelech feels it now that he cries out to God twice. Kaylee. The Radaki number 5 adopts this same approach. Kaylee, lama azavtani, v'hu b'lashon yachid, Al Am Yisrael Yachod, Shehein Ki Ish Echad Begolus Ubelev Echad. See, here's what's interesting. What the Radak is picking up on is, if it's really true that David HaMelech is referring to the national experience of Golus, then why is it phrased in the singular? Kaylee, my God, Lama Azavtani. Why did you leave me? But if it's about us in Golus, then what should it say? Lama azavtanu, as the Ramach does say elsewhere in Tehillim. Why have you forsaken us? The Radak says something amazing. The Radak says, because if there's one time that the Jewish people come together, it's when? Suffering. Suffering, when we are in difficult straits, shen kish echad begalos ubelev echad. That ultimately we become, it's actually his choice of words over here, very interesting, ish echad belev echad. You know where he gets it from? He borrows that from Rashi, right? Where Rashi brings down by Sinai, vayis yatsvu betachti sahar, vayis yatsi betachti sahar. So Rashi says over here, it says that they camped singularly at the base of the mountain. Rashi says, ki ish echad belev echad. There was a sense of unity. So here the Radak borrows that same lashon over here, that in galos to become one. So you're probably asking yourself, well, that's not the case today. There's a very good reason for that, because we're not suffering in Golos today, right? Because we live in an unprecedented time of Golos, which has its benefits and has its detriments. The benefit is we're not being persecuted. The downside of it, there's no downside to not being persecuted. But the dynamic of Jews banding together, the truth is you don't see as much today, because we live in an incredible time of prosperity. We band together when we need each other, when we're able to exist, or at least we feel able to exist independently. We don't band together as much. Okay, not a topic for today. But the point of, yes?
The Boston, they became...
Right. It's not just the din in the Jewish people. It's the din in humanity. People come together in times of crisis. No question. So the Radak, so here you have Rashi and the Radak understanding that this kapitel is a prophetic foreshadowing kapitel. It refers first to future galus. It's phrased in the singular because despite the fact that we will be outside of Eretz Yisrael, the good news is we will band together ki ish echad b'lev echad. Therefore, it's in the singular, but we will feel so forsaken. We will feel in such a state of pain that A, We will call out to God twice, Keli, Keli, and not only that, we will feel totally forsaken and left alone by the Ribono Shel Olam. Second approach, which the truth is not all that different than the first, but you'll see it's a little bit nuanced different, as nuanced differences. Take a look at number six, Tradak. And these are very profound insights. Tradak says, Va'amar Keli, Kilomar, Shehayisa Cheski Vitsuri Mikedem. Va'ata Lama Azavtani. So the Radak says something amazing. The Radak says, you know, in life, so Chlal Godel about relationships is what? Chlal Godel about life relationships. But what is the one certainty in every single one of your life relationships? Okay? Good. The people with whom you are in a relationship will fail you. That's not a pessimistic statement. That's true. That's true, right? Because, again, that's just the way life works. Relationships are made up of human beings. Human beings are imperfect, which means that at some point in time, the person with whom I am in a relationship will let me down. Sometimes that letdown is profound. Sometimes it's not profound, but inevitably. A spouse inevitably lets down another spouse. Again, don't over-dramatize the word let down, right? Let down could just mean that inevitably we set expectations for people with whom we are in a relationship, and inevitably, people don't always live up to those expectations. Sometimes it's our fault because the expectations are just too high. They're just not right. And sometimes it's the other person's fault because they're not working hard enough. But klal gadol in relationships is that people fail. People are human. People are flawed. So people in relationships fail. But when do those failures hurt most? Those failures hurt most when it's someone who I really love. And it's someone who I really depend on. And it's someone who I really felt had my back. You see, if someone who I'm friends with, or someone who I have a casual relationship with, bless you, goes ahead and fails me, it's upsetting, but it's not hurtful. It's not hurtful. When someone who I love, someone who I care about, someone who I really feel connected to, when that person fails me, that hurts. That hurts. And depending how close you are to that person, and that's why sometimes when people who we love let us down, even if it's very minor things, you know, sometimes you're in a relationship with someone and you don't do something they thought you were going to do, and they react in a way that seems, you look at it and say, wow, that's a really exaggerated response, right? It doesn't make any sense. But if you get into the psychology of it, what they're really asking is, I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. I thought we were biyachad, and now you did this. It's not about the thing. It's about what the thing means, legabi, the relationship. So now, what the Radak is saying is something amazing. David HaMelech doesn't just say, he could have just said, Hashem, Elohim, Kael. What does he say? Keli. My God, look at Radak Kilomar. Shayisi Cheski Vitsuri Mikedem. You're my God. We had a relationship. I depended so much on you. I leaned so much on you. We've grown together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've celebrated my accomplishments. We've shaken our heads at my downfalls. And what happened? Va'ata Lama Azavtani. Where did you go? I don't have a casual relationship with God. You're Keli. You're Maya Kodesh Baruch Hu. And where are you? Ve'ata lama azavtani. Where did you go? Rachok mi Yeshua si. Now these words are so profound. Rachok mi Yeshua si means what? You are far from my salvation. Far from my salvation means what? I feel you're so far that what? That you can't even save me. Even if you wanted to. Now, of course, again, it's not true that God, David HaMelech, is, you have to understand something. You all understand it. But emotion doesn't have to be true to be valid. Right? If I feel a certain way, now again, this is a very slippery slope. I just want to be, I know I'm outnumbered over here. So I'm going to say this very carefully. Right? So meaning, when I feel a certain way, that's my reality. It doesn't mean my reality is correct. So sometimes we say if a person feels a certain way, that it's my job to validate those feelings. That's how you feel okay. Other times, if the feelings are just totally wrong and they're just totally off, to validate that may actually be doing a disservice for the individual because you may actually be putting a stempel on an inappropriate alternate reality. Instead, sometimes you have to point out to a person, I know you feel that way, but I think you're wrong. I think Don't try that at home. I'm saying, you know, you have to know how to do that. So what David HaMelech over here is not making a statement of fact. What David HaMelech is doing over here is expressing a feeling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to tell you how I feel. Kaylee, we had a relationship. You were mine. You know, if you were just a casual God, I wouldn't care so much that you're not here. But we have history together. We have history. We built a life together. And I feel, Lama Azatani, you've left. So let me just tell you how far I feel that you've left. Rachok mi Yeshua si. I feel you're so far that you can't even save me even if you wanted to. I feel like you've so far removed yourself from me that you don't even have a hand in my life. Remember, how does the Pasuk say? So follow the progression. Kaylee, you're my God. What happened to you? Lama Azavtani, why did you forsake me? You have so much history. I feel you're so far. Rachok mi Yeshua si. That you couldn't even save me even if you wanted to. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know why that hurts so much? Divrei Shagasi. Because don't you hear me crying? Don't you hear how much pain I am in? Don't you understand how badly I'm suffering? And you're so far away. Look at number 7, the Malbim. All of these Mefarshim, 7, 8, 9, 10, we're going to see all echo the same basic theme, but really highlighted in different ways. So the Malbim number 7 says, "Ato keli, asher ach ato keli, lo zulascha, ato keli mi olam." So the Malbim says that David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, I never had anyone else but you. You're my keli. Ach ato, you are my God. You've been my God forever. And if I've always put my trust in you, why have you left me now? Lama azaltani ba'ofen asher ata rochok mi Yeshua si, v'rochok mi divrei sha'agosi? Why is it that you've left me in a way that you are far from my salvation, far from my cries? Rotsi lomar, listen to this. Lo levad shisrachakta mimeni, ad shisrachakta mimeni, ad shlo tiyak karov elai. La lios Yeshua si be'es atzorah. Not only have you distanced yourself from me, God, to the point that you don't help me in my time of need, but hisrachta od yoser ad shlo tuchal lishmoa af es divrei sha'agosi. So the Malbim says, you know, the only thing worse than being in pain is what? Being in pain all alone. So David HaMelech says, you've left me, you're not helping me, but I feel you're so far, rachok mi Yeshua si, excuse me, mi divrei sha'agosi, that you don't even hear my cries. You don't even listen to me. Hisrachakta o yosu shotucha lishmo aves divrei sha'agosi. You've distanced yourself so much that kiviyachol you don't even hear my cries. Be'ofen shelo teida mitzara sikla, which means, what does it mean you don't hear my cries? You don't even have an awareness, God, about my suffering. You don't even know what's happening in my life. V'zeh his oninus alif ala azivakot. Fine, so that's the Malbim. So the Malbim takes it a step further. Not only are you my God, not only have you left me, not only do you not save me, but you've distanced yourself so much you don't hear my cries. Yes?
If any rabbi would say this today, he'd be put in
harem. That's only because we become firmer than David HaMelech. Right? Baruch Hashem. You know, one of the greatest theological, philosophical mistakes people make is they think you have to just accept everything ba'ahava, with a big smile. And I mean, if you could do that, great. The goal is to get there. But for most of us, it's a struggle. And what we often forget is God has very thick skin. Whatever you have to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trust me, he can handle it. This is the... You understand, when a person lodges a complaint with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is the Rav Soloveitchik discussed this extensively, it is the greatest display of emunah. Because what a person is saying is, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe that you orchestrate my circumstances. That's number one, that's why I'm complaining to you. Number two, I actually believe you're listening to me, that's why I'm talking to you also. And number three, I believe that you have the ability to change my circumstances. You know, I want to tell you why I think, and I agree with you, I think people think that this would be apikarsus to say this, but I'll give you a first try from halacha that it's not true. The halacha is that when a person loses a loved one, so between the time of death and burial, there's a state of halacha called aninus. And when a person is an onin, a person is potter from all active mitzvos aseh. So a person doesn't daven, a person doesn't make barachas, a person, almost, you can't commit averos, but a person is exempt from all positive mitzvot. So there are a number of different approaches. Pashup Shah Pshat is because Osik b'mitzvah patra min ha-mitzvah. That since a person is actively involved with dealing with the needs of the deceased, so therefore again, a person is freed from all the responsibilities. So Soloveitchik explains, that's not the reason. The Rav explains that when a person loses a loved one, it is natural to be angry with God. It is natural to feel distanced from God. You took something I love. You took someone who I will never have again. Chazal understood that that is a natural way to feel. And so what did they do? So to force a person in those moments to go ahead and connect with the Ribono Shel Olam, it's not right. It's not right. Sometimes you have a falling out with someone. You know, so sometimes, you know, people like to immediately re-engage. And sometimes what do you need? You need a cooling off period. Sometimes you need a little bit of time apart before you come back together. So the Rav explains that that's what aninos is. You took something I love, you hurt me, you have profoundly and forever changed the trajectory of my existence. I don't want to talk to you right now. I don't want to daven. I don't want to daven because I don't feel that I could face you and say your shevach b'fe mali. So the greatness of Chazal was, they could have forced you to be disingenuous. They could have forced you to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kirim Melech Olam, you're wonderful, Shakol Ni'abidvara. They could have forced us to do that. But Chazal made the active decision not to do that. Now that being said, that period is very defined and confined. Right? Remember, that period goes until the Kvura. Once that grave is filled in, then Chazal tell us, you have a strained relationship with God, work on it. Rehabilitate it. Build it back up. You can't stay in a state of aninos. And David HaMelech is validating this process for us. David HaMelech is looking klapei Shema, he's looking heavenward, and he's saying, where did you go? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is David HaMelech saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I, mortal man, am hurt by your divine behavior. I don't understand why, A, if we had a relationship, if you were my God, why did you leave me? I don't understand why you've actually left, and I don't understand why you go so far that you don't even hear my cries. Look at number 8. Yes?
Are you saying that we are allowed to feel this way?
100%. 100%. Not only I say that we're allowed to feel this way, I think that you wouldn't feel this way is, I think that there are some people who are on a level where perhaps they never feel any kind of anger or animosity. People who have an incredible, refined Avas Hashem. No, I don't know if it's not normal. I'm saying, all I can say is, if David HaMelech felt this way, and David HaMelech wrote down for us, why did he write this down for us? Why did he write this? This is a validation. This is a validation of this. But if David HaMelech agreed, so if someone on a Davidic Madrega feels this, then what? I'd say, that we could feel this way. But remember, it doesn't end there. I want to be clear on this. So does one have a license to be angry with God? 1,000%. Does one have a license to be hurt by God? 1,000%. To feel hurt by God? 1,000%. But that's not the kunz. The kunz is then, what are you going to do now? So there are some people that remain angry for life. That's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. There are some people that feel slighted and wrong for life. That's not acceptable. You want to take the time to vent your anger and frustration towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, great. But then you put every ounce of koach to rehabilitating your relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam.
What about people who went through the Holocaust? Different kinds of things.
It's hard to speak to individual cases because, first of all, even people who went through the Holocaust, people react differently to different things. People react differently to different things. Would I say, Begadol, that everyone has an obligation to go ahead and repair their relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam? Of course. Can you look at a survivor from the worst catastrophe in Jewish history, and if they chose to leave God after the war, can you fault them for that? Who are we to stand in judgment of anyone who has seen the worst horrors that mankind has ever befallen? What advice would David HaMelech give them? I have no idea. I have no idea. Remember, I always say, Chal Godel is, when it comes to matters of relationship between man and God, there's only one person who we are responsible for, and that's ourselves. Relationships are very complex dynamics. And so, you know, what works for one person might not work for another person. There are some people, like I said, who are able to never feel that anger. Or maybe they suppress the anger to an incredible degree, or suppress the hurt, and they are able to drown it in just an incredible ability to be mekabel everything bi'ahava. Wonderful. If you could do that, that's great. I don't think it works for 98% of humanity, but or Jewish people. But if we're part of humanity also, I want to be clear on that. But again, so my only point in bringing this out is, I think sometimes, I was going to say this later, but I'll say it now. I think sometimes when we encounter struggles, we feel like we have a choice between being frum and being human. Right? And so to be frum means, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you so much. Right? It's wonderful. I'm the Kabel. Hinani Mukhan, I'm Zuman, the Kabel, Yisurin, Shalava. And Mamish, heap it on because they're going to put this in my article biography, right? That, you know, when I went ahead and, like, they say, like, that story about Rav Moshe, that's not true. That's right, that Rav Moshe was getting into a car and somebody slammed the door on his fingers. And Imamish, he rode the whole way with his door on the fingers. He didn't want to be Mevayish, the individual. It's not true. It's not true. Rav Moshe was a human being. If his hand got stuck in the door, or he might let out a little yelp. I would have to imagine. Or he might say, "Excuse me, my hand's in the door. Would you mind?" So we have this idea that our job is to overcome emotion, and somehow if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it because it's Tov, which we believe on a theological level, I have to overcome any type of hurt that I may feel as a person. And I think what David HaMelech says is not true. It's permitted to grieve the same way that why do we have Shiva? You know, the Geshra Chaim discusses this, Rav Tukachinsky, in his Sefer writes, why do we have Shiva? Why do we have any kind of Avelos? If we believe that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we believe that when a person leaves this world, they go to Gan Eden, so, or there's Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is even a million times better than Olam Hazeh, this is just the Prusdar, then why do we mourn? Then why do we, it's a good question. And Rav Tukachinsky gives such a simple answer. You know what he says? Because we're people. Because we're people. And although theologically, I believe it's the Ratzon Hashem. And I do believe that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, of course, is L'tova, whether I see it or not. And I do believe that my loved one is in a better place now. But it hurts. But what am I supposed to do? It hurts for me. It hurts for me. And so the halacha says, the halacha itself validates human emotion. It's the most beautiful part of Judaism. Judaism never tells us to ignore our humanity. Judaism tells us to elevate our humanity. So you feel hurt, you feel alone, you feel sad, you feel forsaken. Feel it. Feel it. And even sometimes you're allowed to even wallow in it. Just don't lose yourself in it. Make sure you find a way back out. So this is what David HaMelech is referring to over here. So look at number 8. So he says, in number 8, again, these are all echoing the same basic theme. Elokai, hatemo, ki ato elokai, v'eich lo sane. You're my God, how would you not answer me? Ki ein li eloka acha mi baladecha. So the evidence takes it a step further. He says, keili, my God, you don't understand. If you leave me, I'm really stuck. You know why? You know why? Because there's no assistant God. Right? There's no God intern. There's no one else for me to go to if you are absent. So if you absent yourself from my life, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tell me, what is it exactly that you, who do you want me to turn to? Number 9, Malbim. Malbim says, Elokai, Halo Ekra Kalayom, I've been calling out the whole day. Umadua lo sane. Here David HaMelech says something amazing. You know, the Gemara says that one of the people that don't have Olam Haba is the Gemara says someone who engages in Iyun Tfila. So Iyun Tfila means what? Rashi says, in Mesechus Brachos, Rashi says Iyun Tfila means that a person davens and they wait for their tfilos to be answered. Ma'amash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to say, this morning on the Kavana Richter scale, right? I shook the heavens this morning. It wasn't 11; it was off the charts, right? But now, for this program, I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to wait for the shefa. You know, I'm going to wait for the bracha to come down. So the Gemara says, "Don't quit your day job," right? No, it's not. And that's why, by the way, I just want to point out, it is. This is important. You know, there are some tzedakas that advertise out there this idea that, you know, give and mamish. I'm not saying it doesn't work. Who am I? I have no idea how things work. But I do think it's theologically very dangerous. Because to think that there's an action and a reaction, that somehow I do X and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just has to immediately respond with Y, number one, I think is exceptionally arrogant. God runs the world. God knows I don't. I put in my ishtaglus, I daven for what I think I need, I'd love to have it now. But maybe I need it now, maybe I don't need it now, maybe I need it, maybe I don't need it at all. That's up to the Ribono Shel Olam. So interestingly enough, the Gemara says, so if you go ahead and you wait, you daven, and then you wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer your tefillah, you're going to waste your life. The job of a Jew is you daven b'chol levavecha u b'chol nafshecha, you put in all of your kavanah you possibly can, and then what do? Right? You live. You go on, you produce, you do, you work, you grow, and you hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer you the way that you want it, but you humble yourself enough to also know that even if he answers me in a different way, or even if he answers me in an opposite way, and the answer is no, I'm a kabbal that as well. So what's interesting is, but yet, what is the natural human emotional default, the emotional reflexive is that I daven, and what do I expect? I do expect things. So again, this is the incredible, the dialectic. On one hand, there are certain theological principles I subscribe to, and I know that I don't daven to get immediate gratification. I don't daven to get the answer, but I do. But I do. I don't, but I do. And what's amazing is, lest you think that this dialectic is something wrong with me or something wrong with you, David HaMelech is saying it also. Look what he writes in number 9. Elokai, halo ekra kol hayom. I've been calling out to you all day. Umadu alo sana. I've been sitting here the whole day crying out to you. Why haven't you? Mamish, iyun tefillah. The Gemara says, don't do it. The Gemara is later. But the Gemara says, don't do this. And David HaMelech is saying, but what do you want? I'm a human being. So this is incredible dialectic. Yes. Right. Right, you're not paying attention to me. It's true. The only difference is, and I think it's an excellent, excellent mashal. You know, the reason why it's theologically scary is because, you know, if we get into a disagreement and you ignore me, so I'm going to be upset, but it doesn't bring my life to a screeching halt. I'll go on. The notion of being ignored by the Ribono Shel Olam is theologically traumatic. Because if I live my life in the purview of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what does it mean to be ignored by God? What are the ramifications of being ignored by God? What happens to all the other parts of my life that are regulated by God? Now again, so well, that's so correct. This is all, again, I'm... The truth is, we could get into the topic of Hester Panim. Hester Panim is a fascinating discussion in general. And the truth is, Hester Panim has also been dealt with very contemporarily, because some of you know, the greatest Torah minds of the last generation tried to understand the Holocaust through the prism of Hester Panim. But what that means, how it manifests itself, why is there Hester Panim, right? It's not me. You could say anything you want about the Jews of Europe pre-Holocaust, but the truth is, they were nothing compared to Jews of previous... I mean, like, even whatever was going on or not going on, if you just look at the historical continuum of the Jewish people, this was not like the low point of the Jewish people. So I'm dafka staying away from Hester Panim for a little bit of time now. I don't know, maybe we'll do a follow-up shir. All right, take a look at number 10. Look at number 10. So the Radak says, "Va'ata kadosh yoshev ve'ech lo sana, ata sha'ata kadosh yoshev yoshev v'kayim li'olam." So now the Radak brings it full circle. So remember, so far what we have is Kaili, you're my God, lama azavtani. But if we have a relationship, and we're supposed to be biyach, we're supposed to be together, why have you left me? Rachok mi Yeshua si. I feel like you've gone so far that you can't even help me if you wanted to. And not only that, you're ignoring me. Divrei Sha'agosi, I've been standing here the whole time. Do you not hear me? So what does David HaMelech say afterwards? Right? Elokai ekra yomam velo san evlai, fine. V'ata kadosh yoshev tilos Yisrael. So Radak says, and God, don't tell me you can't. Don't tell me that it's beyond you to help me in my circumstances. Don't tell me that I'm sorry, silver's too far lost. You can't help me, I'm on my own. He says, that's not true. Ve'echlo sane ata sha'ata kodosh yoshev v'kayim li'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're holy and you're eternal. Va'ato ha'yisa pamim rabos. Tehilos Yisrael. There are so many times that you came to our aid. Shayu mehalalim oscha b'hoshiach osam mitzarosam. Ki atehila v'audot tial Yeshua. Ve'ech lo toshienu ata ki ata kayom la'ad. And so David HaMelech comes back full circle. And here's by the way, the incredible, on one hand, it almost looks like a contradiction, right? Because on one hand, David HaMelech is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're nowhere. But yet, what does he do in the next breath? He affirms the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ata kadosh yoshev tzol Yisrael. See, God, I couldn't be upset at you. And maybe upset is the wrong word. I couldn't be hurt by you if I felt you were powerless to remedy my situation. But you're not. Va'ata kadosh yoshev tilos Yisrael. And finally, number 11 in Mitzudas David, Yoshev, he says, Kayim v'nitzchi kimo ata Hashem li'olam teshev. V'rot zalomar, halo kikochecha as kochecha ata. So then Mitzudas David goes on to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using historical precedent, the same way you've saved us, despite the fact that we were in compromised situations earlier, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could choose to save me now as well. Okay, so essentially what we have is two different understandings of this particular kapitel. Either the first approach, which again was Rashi and Radak, who explained that David, this is actually a prophetic foreshadow. David HaMelech referring to future goals. Second approach is David HaMelech does not really, we don't know what David is referring to specifically, but it's not just simply about golos. It's about that feeling of profound divine abandonment. You're not here, and I feel betrayed because we had a relationship. You're not here, and therefore you're not even taking an interest to help me. And not only are you not helping me, but you're so far removed that I don't even feel like you hear me. But let me also bring you one last approach. So going back to the first year, which we just reviewed a little while ago, take a look at number 12. V'tamod b'chatzar ha'melech pinimis. So the Gemara Maseches Megillah says that this is the episode where Esther HaMalka now comes to initiate contact with Ahasuerus. With Ahasuerus. So remember again, this is a very dramatic episode. Mordechai comes and tells her about the decree of Haman. Esther's reaction at first is, I can't really help you. That's her first reaction. I can't really help you. Mordechai gives her significant mussar that we actually spoke about in one of our part of Shiurim. And she finally decides to go. So what happens? Number 12. Vatamur b'chaser beis hamelech. So she comes now to approach. She has not been summoned to the king, but she comes to Achashverosh, to the inner chamber. Amar Rabbi Levi, listen to this. Kevan shehigia lebeis hatzlamin. When she got to the idol chamber, I guess that must have been whatever. I guess maybe in the king's throne room, he had some kind of the antechamber that had all the idols, all the avodah zara. Nistalka himena shchina. Esther felt that the shchina departed from her. And what does she say? Amra, keli, keli, lama azavtani. My God, why have you left me? So remember, again, this segues very beautifully back into the previous approach that understands that Ayelas HaShachar is a reference to Esther HaMalka. So if Ayelas HaShachar is a reference to Esther HaMalka, says the Gemara, you know who said Kaylee, Kaylee? It wasn't David. Young, inexperienced Esther HaMalka is initiating contact with the king. Now understand that that has a variety of ramifications, right? It has a life and death ramification, in that maybe the unpredictable Ahasuerus is not going to point the scepter towards her and ultimately have her killed. And remember, it has another very important morality ramification. Esther had been living with Ahasuerus until this point in time, but halachically she had the status of an anusa, of a woman who was raped. And because of that, whether, especially if you go with the idea that she was married to Mordechai, it held out the hope that under some circumstances she could still be reunited with her husband. If she willingly approaches Ahasuerus and initiates contact with him, that takes away the anusa, takes away the forced status. In which point in time she would clearly become usra labayla, she would become prohibited to her husband, li'olam vaed. And that's why, by the way, when Esther Malka says, Kasher avadeti avadati, you know, some have the custom to read that those words in the tune of Eicha. And the reason for that is there's a national ramification and there's a personal ramification. To Mordechai, she says, maybe I'll be killed. And what's going to happen to the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael? And the Gemara says, Kasher avadati mena olam, kach avadati mimecha. That she says to Mordechai, Goodbye. It's a very tragic point in the Megillah where she has to say to, if you go at the approach that he was her husband, this is it. You know, goodbye. So here, the Gemara says that when she comes into the Beis HaTzlamim, she feels that the Shechina has departed from her. And so she says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keili, Keili, Lama Azaftani? Where did you go exactly? I'm right about to walk into Achashosh. This is where I need you most. Shema Atadon Shogi Kamezid Va'al Ones Kiratzon. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe you consider literally an accidental commission of an Aver, like an intentional, or Ones Kiratzon, or something extenuating like a willful transgression. Now, what Esther Malka was saying here is one of two things. Either A, that the notion that I'm in this idolatrous area, I'm not here by choice, right? I just have to get to the king's throne room. So are you going ahead? Are you going ahead and what? Are you going ahead and holding me accountable for walking into this place of Avodah Zarah, even though it's not my intention? Or perhaps more dramatically, Ones Keratzon. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I may be giving myself over to this manoval to Akashverosh, but is it what I want? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's in my heart. You know what I want to do and what I don't want to do. Are you really going to hold me accountable for a willful commission of sin when you know at the end of the day this is totally against my will? When you know at the end of the day, remember, you know, I've often said this, that you know, when we finish the Megillah, so remember, you know, we start to sing Shoshanas Yaakov, it's wonderful, Simcha, and we say, the Megillah ends happily ever after for everyone but Mordechai and Esther. And really I should say Esther and Mordechai. Because while all the Jews are celebrating, Esther is stuck in this life that she never chose. Never chose. And no reason to assume she ever really wanted it. Mordechai, again, especially if you understand that Esther was his wife, goes into the king's palace every single day and sees the woman that he had dreamed about building a life with, now the wife of another man. And mamish asura to him. Asura to him. So what Esther Malchus is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, what do you want? What do you, okay, yeah, there's Avodah Zarah everywhere. Shkoyach God. What do you want from me? I'm trying to save Klal Yisrael. I'm giving myself over to the king. Okay, I know, believe me, I know it's not right. And I know it's not good. And I know it's not Kadosh. And I know it's not Tahar. But what do you want from me in these circumstances? And almost kivyoch, like Esther Malka says, almost like in an accusatory, Keili, Keili, lama azavtani? Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm doing this for you and for your people, and now you're going to leave me? And now, when I need you most, when I am here as the shlucha for Klal Yisrael, now you're going to leave me and let me go into this all by myself? See, interestingly enough, what's the next line in the kapitel? We're going to skip right now, just for the al-sheikh. We don't need the al-sheikh right this second. So, actually, I'll just say outside. The al-sheikh in number 14 points out that what part of what's happening over here is that when Esther Malka goes in and the Avodah Zarah is there, or she's going in and there's going to be an act of immorality that may occur, so Esther Malka says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I appreciate the fact that you're so kadosh, that you can't go ahead and exist in a place that is tamei. That she can't exist amongst the impurity of idolatry and immorality. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? The Al-Shech brings this down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? When the Jews were in Egypt, Egypt was a depraved, immoral society. And God, you know what? You lived among them in that time as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, get off the throne and come down here. Sometimes God, even you, have to soil and defile yourself just a little bit to be with us in difficult situations. What's the next pasuk? Remember, go back to number one for just a moment. You don't have to go back to number one. I'll read it to you. It's actually number two. What is it? Va'ata kadosh yoshev tehilos Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are holy. You are Kadosh. Look at Rav Hirsch number 15. What does it mean, Va'atza Kadosh? Kadosh expresses that absolute of being and of volition, which is far beyond the reach of any force that might oppose it. It is a Kedusha which in its entirety belongs only to God. That part of this Kedusha which is possible for man to strive for and attain is only an emanation of this Kedusha. So if we go with this approach of this Esther, what is Esther Malka saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I'm with the Avod Zara. I know I'm right here in the Beis HaTzlamim. I know that I may have to engage is something that's immoral. I know I'm initiating the contact. I understand it. Kaili, Kaili, Lama, Azatani, but don't leave me now. I need you more than anything at this moment. Unless you think, but you're HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're holy, and you can't dwell in the midst of impurity. Not true. Va'ata Kadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the essence of holiness. And no matter what circumstances you allow yourself to be in, your holiness will never be defiled. Man's holiness may be diminished. Man's holiness may be tarnished. Va'ata Kadosh. You are the essence of all Kedusha, and therefore no matter where you go or what you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your Kedusha will never be tarnished. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you here, right now. The same way you were with them in Egypt, that you did not go ahead and lose any of your Kedusha, despite the fact that you allowed the Shekhinah to be felt in the depraved society of Egypt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you with me now, despite the fact that there's idolatry, despite the fact that there may be immorality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you. And God, you're a big God, you're a big boy, you're going to be okay. Your Kedusha will not in any way be tarnished. But for you to allow me to go into this situation alone, without assistance, unacceptable. Keli, keli, lama azavtani. I'm doing this for you. I need you to come down. Ata kadosh, your kedusha won't be tarnished. So this is an incredible yisod on a number of levels. First of all, just in terms of understanding it, in terms of Esther. But what is the message for us? So now again, so here's what we have so far. With this, we'll conclude. So here's what we have. So we have David HaMelech's feelings of galus, future galus. David HaMelech's feelings of abandonment, personal abandonment, going through difficult times, and feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nowhere to be found. So voicing those feelings of abandonment, those feelings of feeling let down, of feeling hurt, but yet again struggling to rehabilitate the bond, or perhaps it's Esther HaMelech. And Esther, what David HaMelech is really not giving, he's not giving words to his own emotions. He's prophetically giving words to Esther HaMelech's emotions. That Esther has to do these incredible things, but yet in the moment where she needs God most, feels so alone, begs the Ribono Shel Olam to come back to her, and indeed ultimately we know he does. Esther HaMalka's tefillos are ultimately answered, and she is matzliach in her pursuit to save Klal Yisrael. And I think what emerges from this is an incredible, incredible yisod. First of all, number one, as was mentioned before, it's okay to be angry with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's okay to be hurt by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's okay to feel forsaken by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not okay to remain that way. It's not okay to become, you know, off abyss and anger. And some people, they hold on to their pain their whole life. That's not okay. That demonstrates a lack of strength and a lack of resolve. Because in every fractured relationship, a person always has to go ahead, a person always has to go ahead and find the courage to try to rebuild. So you could feel it, you're allowed to, not only you feel it, you don't need a license. It's reflexive. It's a reaction of being a human being. So okay, if you could overcome that, wonderful. But it is normal. It's okay. David HaMelech gives us the permission to feel this way, as long as we then put in place the process. We have, at the end of the day, even after Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, what do you have to come to? You have to come to Va'ata Kadosh. So I have to come back to a place where once again I recognize the greatness of God, and I have a desire to reconnect to that greatness. So I could lament, I could complain, I could feel hurt, I could feel forsaken. Keili, keili, lama azatani, rachok mi Yeshua si divrei shagasi, great Elokai, I cry among the Lord, I call out a night, call out a day. Fine, did all that, felt all that, va'ata kadosh. Now, how are we going to repair this? But I think it says something else also from Esther HaMelech. From Esther HaMelech, we learn an incredible yisod as well, which is that ultimately, what we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the one tefillah we ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything? One thing we ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech says it, right? Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem, right? Shifti be'es Hashem. The one thing we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything is, God, I can't promise you I'm going to be perfect. Well, I can promise you I'm not going to be perfect. That I can certainly promise you. I can't promise you that I'm always going to live up to your expectations. I can't promise I'm not going to repeat my same mistakes. All I can tell you is, you have my resolve. You have my heart. You know what I want to be, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I ask in return? You see, what's interesting is, when David HaMelech says, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, David HaMelech was asking for a very lofty thing. David HaMelech wants to sit in the Beis Hashem. I think what comes out from this capital is, Acha Sha'alti Me'is Hashem Osa Avakesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shifticha Beveisi. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what happens in life, don't leave me. Just tell me you're going to stay with me. And yes, I may defile myself. And yes, I may mamish mess up terribly and horribly. But just, God, remember, Va'ata Kadosh. No matter how bad I am, your Kiddusha can withstand it. Your Kiddusha will not be sullied or be tarnished by it. Your Kiddusha is eternal and endures no matter what the circumstances. So what David HaMelech is really giving for us is the tefillah for the ages. Yes, it's okay to lament. Yes, it's okay to complain. Yes, it's okay to get angry. But the relationship has to be rehabilitated. But what does the Jew ask for more than anything else from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not really for health. It's not really for parnasa. It's not really for any of the other important things that we daven for. What we ask for is one thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just shiftecha beveisi. Stay with me like Esther Hamalka said. Even if I'm in the Beis Hatzlamim, even if I'm in the Avodah Zarah, no matter what's going on, don't leave me. Unless you say that your Kedusha can't live in my impure house, not true. Va'ata Kadosh. Because you are absolute Kedusha, you can endure under any circumstance. All right, we'll stop here for today.